7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm your stand-up host, Roger Z. I am so pleased. I love it when we have a whole band in the studio. And today we got a special treat. Big Jim Wheeler.
Thank you very much for having us here today. May I introduce the band to you? I'd like to do that. Right over here on rhythm guitar, we have Mike Corbin. And back here, hiding behind the big stand-up bass, we have Buddy Ruse. Over here on the snare drum, we have Bill Rankin. And on the lead guitar, we have our main songwriter, Billy Ruse.
And what do you call it? It's Big Jim Wheeler
and... Big Jim Wheeler and Wheels of Fire.
Man, I love the deep voice. I'll bet you do a killer version of Folsom Prison.
We do that song.
Yeah, I do it lower than Johnny.
Okay.
So, it's just because I don't like to play an F. So I move it down to E. Not only are you guys a national touring act, but you're also a movie star.
Yeah, that just kind of happened within the past few years. I got started by walking into a video store, and Jonathan Demme, the Academy Award-winning director,
sure,
walked up to me, held out his hand, and said, my name's Jonathan Demme, and I'd like to put you in the movies. That's where it started.
Wait a second, don't tell me the sex part.
No, nothing like that. Jonathan's an upstanding guy. Not that I am, though. But he got me started. I did I was what they called a featured extra in The Manchurian Candidate. I did a scene with Denzel Washington in that movie. And from there, I branched off and starred in two independent films, one called The Monkey's Paw, based on the old short story by W.W. Jacobs, written back in 1903. And then I did Delilah Rose, which was based on an original screenplay. From there, I went into doing Dancing with Shiva for Jonathan Demme, where I played one of the principal characters. Tomorrow, I start on another movie called The Boxer, for a director named Paul Borghese. He's also an actor. You might remember him. He played Yogi Berra in the movie 61. He's been in Bronx is Burning, and he's directed quite a few movies.
That's awesome, man. So you're doing this movie. It's a different life. Sometimes you sit for 12 hours and do nothing, right?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you do that. I mean, but they do feed you well, so you've always got something to chew on, or always, you know, bring a lot of reading material, and if you're lucky enough, they get you a stereo you can listen to.
So you've got lines in this, right?
Oh, yes, I do, yes.
Do you have a trailer?
Well, we're just starting. The filming starts tomorrow for The Boxer. The Dancing with Shiva just wrapped up last month, and that'll be out next fall.
Oh, I didn't mean that trailer. Not for the movie. I meant every movie that I see that has actors in it, the actors after the scenes go into the trailer.
Oh, that trailer! Yes, as a matter of fact, yes.
You have your own trailer.
Well, Jonathan set one up for me.
That's awesome.
And he really is a special guy. He sort of rolled the red carpet out for me and really treated me kind of special, I have to say. And this is the second movie I've done for him, and... you know, he's a man of his word. He said that basically The Manchurian Candidate was a screen test for me, and then after that he'd like to expand on what I do, so now I'm a principal character in his next movie.
Very interesting. Very interesting. How would you describe the music that you play?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, we don't like to, you know, like, log ourselves into any one particular form of music. We can just play anything you want to hear. Basically, what people want to hear from us is rockabilly, old-time country, originals that we do. But we've done Dean Martin, and we, you know, we'll do anything you need to hear.
Could it be the sideburns that make them expect that?
It could be. It could be.
Does your bass player hop up on that bass and pogo around?
Well, you know, I think he could, except that this bass probably belonged to, you know, Stradivarius. I mean, it's old. I don't think it would stand his weight. Not that he's a big boy, but... You can see it's already patched up, so we got to be nice to it.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with that kind of tape.
Yeah.
It's a man's solution to everything.
It is.
People have been known to place it over other people's mouths, right? If they talk too much. Okay, so what's exciting for me is to hear you guys play. You know, we spent a considerable amount of time trying to get the mix right. We're doing this old school, we're almost doing it Sun Studios like, where we got everything set. All we need you guys to do is play.
Okay.
Except you only get to do it once.
All right.
So you're going to do three songs. You can tell me about all three at once or tell me a little bit before each one.
Okay, well, I will explain a little bit before each one then.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it. Keep your eye on the clock.
Okay.
And I'll be right out there.
All right.
Do you want to tell them about this one?
Yeah, well, the first song we're doing,
Delilah Rose,
written by Billy Ruse and Buddy Ruse. And this song is from a movie that I made that I got to star in. And Delilah Rose, I play a sort of a rockabilly slinger, drifter, comes into a town, and well, once he gets there, it turns into sort of a Twilight Zone episode from there on. But Delilah Rose, played by a newcomer and a very beautiful, really good actress named Mercedes Kent. And I hope everybody goes to see it when it is released. But here's a theme song, and we wrote it. It's called Delilah Rose.
One, two, three.
Songs. And we like to do one for you now. It features Muddy Ruse's harp. It's a song that was written by Billy Ruse. Actually, this was the very first song that we wrote for this, for our first album. This all started when a violin, a fiddle legend by the name of Vassar Clemens, told me that when after I asked him for an autograph, if I would ever take singing seriously, he would put his fiddle on my first album for free. The man kept his word. This was the very first song we did. Unfortunately, Vassar has passed away, and he's not here to play with us. But this is the song, and it's called The Dark Side of the Sun. This next song that we're going to do was written by Billy and Muddy Ruse, and it's something I need right now under these hot lights. I need a long, cool ride.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just make a world.
job.
Thank you.
I can see you just getting warmed up.
It
literally
takes a while,
right?
Yeah, it takes a while to wind the key. But now we come out of the gate pretty good.
You know, I was just thinking while you were playing, I was watching Kill Bill Part 1 last night.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie?
No, I haven't. Now, you're talking about Uma Thurman, David Carradine movie.
Yeah, but I'm really talking about the guy, Quentin Tarantino. Because he has his cast of characters that he has in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
Same as Adam Sandler. Every movie has the same. And I was just thinking, it is so awesome that you are now in the cast of characters in Jonathan Demme's movies.
Well, he did tell me I was part of his permanent cast now.
That's nice. I would find
myself in every one of his movies. And like I said, he's a man of his word, and I'll hold him to it, and I'm sure I can count on it.
So I guess you're a member of SAG at this point, or?
Well, I'm joining as we speak. Yeah, they just sent me the letter. They just sent me this really nice letter saying, you know, hey, congratulations on becoming a principal character in a major motion picture, but now we know who you are. And you better join, or we'll have your name at every one of those casting calls. Just a nice little letter from them. So, no, I'm in the process right now of joining.
The world is a funny place. It's funny the way these things work.
Yeah, this is true.
Do you have an opinion about the writer's strike that's going on right now, or would you prefer to steer clear of that?
To tell you the truth, I really don't know that much about it, but as far as I can see, I mean, writers should get their equal share. If they're not getting it, then they have a right to do what they're doing.
My understanding is that writers made a bad deal on DVD residuals.
Yeah, they did. They don't get anything.
No, they get a little bit, but it's very paltry, so they're trying to up that.
Yeah.
And right now they're getting nothing on the internet stuff, and that's where everything's going to end up being shown in 5 or 10 years.
Well, you know, when you think about it, without the writers, there's no show. You know, I mean, they are absolutely the backbone of the show. Without them, there is nothing, unless these people want to write for themselves, you know. So I just hope that they come to a very amicable conclusion here and they settle it soon, that's all.
Yeah, me too. So let's get to our standard questions, okay?
Sure.
The old desert island scenario.
Okay, girl would I like to bring with me?
Well, my question would be, what women would you bring? Why limit yourself?
Because I got a wife out there, and she'll see this. I know she will.
Okay.
So I'll be on the good side here. But no, if you want to know which women, yeah, all right, Raquel loves a few of her end. I'm an old school person.
Okay, I was watching Grumpy Old Men.
All right, yeah.
She looks pretty good. Yeah,
she sure does.
And Margaret?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you go old school.
Yeah, that's me.
It's funny, can you imagine? I guess in the 50s and 60s, women had to be pretty much anatomically correct from birth.
That's right. That's right. No liposuction or anything to fill in.
You know, it's funny because some of these characters, I guess it's addicting. I just need another sliver off here, a little bit more here, and the next thing you know,
they look like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, what couple of CDs would you bring to a desert island? If you had a boombox, you had some batteries?
Well, I'd bring, you know, probably Dean Martin's greatest hits. I'd bring, of course, Elvis's greatest hits. I would bring Hank Williams' box set, you know. I'd probably bring, you know, some of these guys' individual stuff. The Ruse Brothers and Mike Corbin have some good albums out there. I know I'd probably bring those.
What's the URL of your website?
What is a URL?
He is old school.
Turn to him. And
well, we're working on a Big Jim Wheeler website, but right now he's got a MySpace up there.
MySpace/
Big Jim Wheeler and Wheels of Fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
yeah. Just put Big Jim Wheeler in there. Something will come up.
Yeah, something will come up.
Oh, you just Google that name, and I come up. God knows how many times.
Yeah, I read up on you.
Oh, okay.
When I first booked you, unfortunately, the short-term memory has run out.
All right.
Okay, so no surprises there. Dean Martin, you know, Dean Martin was an interesting guy. Basically was a gangster before he went into movies. Okay, let's move on to the second question, which is, you're a big superstar. We're going to put you in the Garden.
Okay.
It's like we're doing a tribute to Bob Dylan or a tribute to Elvis.
All right.
You get to put together your favorite two or three bands, but you have one thing that those guys didn't have. You could bring back the Dead to play in your band.
Oh.
The Grateful Dead?
Okay.
Hey, I would bring back Jerry for sure to play in my band. Absolutely.
So who would I bring back?
Or who would you include living? It's Living or Dead.
Oh, Living or Dead. Well, for sure I'd get back Vassar Clemens. I would really like to have played much more with him. I'm sorry that he passed away so soon. You know, I'd like to get, Liberace could bang out a pretty damn good piano. But I'd probably get Jerry Lee Lewis in his place.
Well, you two sets.
All right, then one in one and one in the other. Okay, let's see. Musicians. Well, Paul McCartney for one and Ringo on drums. Definitely like to get them. I'd like to bring back John Lennon too, for that matter, and George Harrison. I mean, who wouldn't want the Beatles back in them? I guess that's about says it all when you get them.
Well, what says a lot to me is that you're not letting your ego get in the way of this. A lot of guys, I'm not bringing Jimmy back. I don't want Eric to play with me. I don't want Elvis singing next to me. I don't want Ray Charles on the piano.
I'd be honored to have any one of them on the same stage as me, to be honest with you. You know, that would be to bring back Ray Charles. And I'll tell you, one person I would really like to have brought back is a little-known person, although it's a shame he is Roscoe Gordon. Now, Roscoe Gordon is the man who made Sun Records what they are. And very few people really know that because they associate Sun Records with Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee. But the very first hit record to come out of there, and what really gave him the money, Sam Phillips, the money to build Sun Studios and get it going, was Roscoe Gordon. Now, Roscoe, he quit the business back in the 50s when his wife was dying of cancer, and he made a promise to her that he would take care of the kids, and to do that, he had to quit the business. But if you go back to the 50s, Roscoe Gordon was one of the best R&B players there was. And I'd bring him back.
You know, I took a trip down to Memphis maybe 8 years ago, and I went to Sun Studios, mm-hmm. and they had this Romanian guy.
Oh, really?
Tour. And I was thinking, boy, they must not be paying a lot of money. Illegal immigrants to do the job. Of course, I probably have it all wrong. But,
well,
you have an album. What's the name of your album?
The album is called Going Back. And it's mostly original tunes, but we do have a few covers on there. We cover Robert Mitchum's The Ballad of Thunder Road. We cover Johnny Western's Paladin and Jimmy Dean's Big Bad John. As a matter of fact, a little story on that, real quick, was I was getting ready to go into the shower one day, and the phone rang. And I figured, all right, let the answering machine get it. And the last minute, I said, no, I got the phone right away. And this woman says, I'm looking for Big Jim Wheeler. I said, that's me. She said, well, you hold just for a second for Jimmy Dean. And I said, well, sure, I will. Sure enough, Jimmy Dean answers the phone, and he congratulated me on doing Big Bad John. He had it playing in the background. He said he plays it over and over and over again. He said it was his favorite version now of the song. And I was just really honored, God honored to death, to get that phone call. He even wrote me a little card on the back of his card. He wrote me a little note, sent it to me, thanking me for keeping the song alive.
You know, I'm thinking it's good that you're in the movies because it's hard to make money from records these days.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. That's for sure. We're finding that out. But
that song gets downloaded a lot. It's actually, our album is distributed digitally to over 60 sites, including iTunes and Rhapsody, yeah, and all that, so you could download.
So your album is for sale.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
it's digitally for sale.
Yes, and they can get it on CD Baby. They can get the album off of them, and they can get it from us at our shows.
Which brings me to, as we close out, name some of the clubs that you appear at on a regular basis.
On a regular basis, we're at the Turning Point in Piermont, New York. We've appeared at the Rodeo Bar, and we've appeared at the Bagot Inn down in the Village. And what are some of the other places? Boodles we've played at upstate, in Chester, New York. And
place over here.
What was that
the
place?
Bayou.
The Bayou. We used to play the Bayou a lot, too.
I want to thank you so much for coming down.
Well, we want to thank you for having us.
Okay. See you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.